Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 26th, 2015. Today is Thursday in the fifth week of Lent. A long time ago, when I was a kid, I remember hearing this preacher say the following: "For those who believe in Jesus, no proof is necessary. And for those who don't believe in Jesus, no proof is sufficient." Well, I've always been resistant to those kind of arbitrary statements. It sounds a little too simple and a little too cut and dry. Belief is not as easy as some would make it out to be. And then this year, as we've journeyed through the Gospel of John during this season of Lent, I've become aware of probably why that preacher said those things. All through the Gospel of John, Jesus has been at odds with the religious leadership. He's been showing signs. He's been saying things plainly, more plainly than he does in any of the other Gospels. And it hasn't been enough. He's turned water into wine. He's made bread for a multitude. He's healed the man born blind. He's done all sorts of signs, and he's made no secret about what his mission is or who he is. I and the Father are one. I am the living bread. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. All of these things he's saying forthrightly and within the hearing of anyone who will listen. And then today, we have this great scene. At the festival of the dedication in Jerusalem, John writes, Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon, and the religious leaders gather around him and say, are you ready for this? How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. I love the way Jesus answers, I have told you. And you do not believe. He's already made the statement. There's no more ways he can make the statement, at least in John's telling of the story, and yet people do not believe. Now, not all people are given to disbelief. Our lesson today ends with Jesus going across the Jordan to the place where John the Baptist had done his ministry. And he stays there in that area, and many people come to him and believe. Well, yet again, we are faced with this notion of belief. What does belief mean, and how do we come to it? John continues to wrestle with that notion of belief throughout the remainder of the gospel. It's a key theme. Well, the preacher of my childhood said, for those who believe, no proof is necessary, and for those who don't believe, no proof is sufficient. I like the words that I heard from a parish priest a few years ago a lot better. Here's what that person said about belief. He said, some people believe their way into being a Christian, and other people live like a Christian and come to belief. Some people believe, by doing so, they do Christian practices. They do Christian work. And other people do Christian work and Christian practices, and by doing so, come to belief. That priest helped me see that there's no way to fully define exactly how we believe. But in his talk, he did help me understand that inherent to Christian belief is Christian practices. A little later in John's Gospel, Jesus will say on the night before he's handed over to suffering and death, people will know you're my disciples because you keep my commandments and because you love one another. It's one thing to say we believe, it's another thing to live out of that belief and to live into it. Yeah, it would be really nice if we knew for certain, right? If all of this were so plain, if we knew 100% that everything that Jesus said is exactly what he meant, everything Jesus did is exactly how it's recorded in the text of Scripture, there's some of us who long for proof, definitive proof. But we can take our cue from the religious leaders in today's gospel. They had seen plenty of things that would constitute proof, and yet it wasn't. And then on the other side of the Jordan, people come to see Jesus, and they hear his words, and they believe and follow him. I think as we come to the end of this Lenten season and we get ready to once again walk the way of Holy Week, where we will retrace the steps of Jesus leading to that moment of crisis for all of us, that moment where we stand at the empty tomb and we're faced with the choice. Do we believe he really rose from the dead? Or not? We will be faced with that choice again. And I believe that the way we live toward that great moment is to be attentive to our own hearts, our own minds,